Hello to everybody. Time to start. I see a lot of new faces who came back, so this is really beautiful from different location of the world. So this is unbelievable. So the section that we're going to discuss today, those of you who are the first time showing up on Monday, what we do, we take the five books of Moses, we divide it into 52 sections, and you have 52 weeks in the year, those of you who didn't know. And every week, we have a discussion about what's the message, what's the consciousness that we can get from it. And what I use usually different kind of commentary, more the spiritual commentary, the Kabbalistic commentary from thousands of years ago. And instead of just pushing, this is the law, or this is the way it is. And I hope you find it fascinating like I do and excited. So let's start. Those of you, you can watch it either on Zoom or either you can watch it on the vitaltransformation.org and Facebook. So these are the three channels you can watch it to make it accessible and available. And like this, you can share it with your friend. You can do a watch party on Facebook and share it with people that you love. And step by step, you know, more we get people to listen and to study on Monday evening. Here it's evening at 6 p.m. In New York, it's 9 p.m. At London, I think it's a little bit late. So to give a chance to your friend also to watch something spiritual, especially in this time. So it will be nice for you to share information with your friend. Anyway, so the section start with Moses is sharing with us a section that God is sharing with Moses, and it's going like that. I want you to know, I want you to see, I'm giving you today a blessing and a curse. And of course, the question we need to ask, the mighty God, the mighty Moses, why do you have to say curse? I'm giving you a blessing. You're coming to my birthday. You give me a gift. When are you coming to my birthday? And you tell me, hey, listen, I have two gifts. One is a curse. One is a blessing. It doesn't work like that. Give me only a blessing. Why God or Moses in the name of God is saying to us, I'm giving you a blessing and a curse. And he continue. The blessing, if you will be able to listen to the way that God created the world and what is the right path. And the curse, if you will not listen. Now, on a superficial level, it sounds like there is a marketing team for God. And that marketing team wants us to follow God. That's what it seemed like. But when you getting into the deeper meaning of understanding spirituality, you need to ask, not if there is God or there isn't. What is God? Before you believe in something, you have to study what it is. I meet people sometimes that say, I don't believe in God. And I meet also people who go in fanatically, I absolutely believe in God. But don't you think that we need to address that concept called God, the divine, mighty one? I think it's important to address that point because without Kabbalah, without the consciousness, the spiritual understanding of Kabbalah, it's very difficult to even understand what is the creator, what is that force. So let's say we're coming from a place we don't believe or we do believe, we got to put it aside. We need to know what is it. So, and I can only share with you information that I know based on book that I read, based on book that was written 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. I'm only passing to you the information, what I think is the truth. It makes sense to me, and I hope it will make sense to you as well. So the creator, the force that's called the creator, is a force that created basically everything. Us as human beings, animals, vegetables, and minerals. And that force that created those physical things is the lowest level of what we call God in Kabbalah. There is a higher force, a much more above that, that not involve in the creation of the little details of the physical thing, that force only did one thing. I want to give. I want to share. I want to love. For that force, the Kabbalists call creator. So if you want to define what is a creator wants to share and love endlessly. We cannot understand the cause of endlessly because the brain of a human being can only relate to something with an end. Endless, very difficult, actually impossible for the brain to capture. So just try to imagine there is a force out there that want to share with you all the love, all the gift, all the money, all the health, all the wonderful thing. So you can ask a great question. From the force that want to share all the blessing to us experiencing all the curses, there is a little miscommunication. That force want to give you 100% good, and you are receiving maybe 5% good. What's going on? COVID-19 going on. Real estate crash in New York. What else? Chaos all over the world, from Lebanon to Portland. Hey, wherever you go, you see protest. You know, you see problem. There's problem everywhere. So where is that goodness that's supposed to come to us, that either the receiver is missing something, or either the giver never gave the gift? So look what it says. The blessing is if you will listen to those paths of the Creator, that the Creator tell you, walk to that path. The curse, if you will not listen. What is the lesson here, my friend? The lesson is when you capable to listen to the right advice, that by itself is a blessing already. Not when a lot of people, I see that a lot of people are saying to themselves once they start to go on a spiritual path, wow, I have expectation for some reward because I listen to spirituality. No, that's when I'm capable to listen to spirituality. That's the reward itself. That's what this portion is telling us. The portion is telling us, are you capable to listen to spiritual lecture? Are you? I'm sure you try to share some of my lecture with your friend. They were not that open. You try, but they're not that open. Why? Because they don't have that blessing. That is the blessing that we are talking about. The blessing is that capability that I want to listen. Example, those of you who are parents, father or mother. As a parent, you want to do the best for your children. If you're a normal parent, you want to do better for your kids than you do for you. That's a parent. What happens if your son or daughter don't listen to you? They are missing some of the gift. They are missing some of the gift. And they start going through pain. They can start going to suffering. Maybe that suffering will wake them up to come back to you and listen. But they don't listen. And at the time they're not listening, that's a curse. Now, what is a good parent doing? You sit with a child. You try a different angle. You try to explain to them in a nice way, in a tough way, in up and down, every angle that you can. Why you try to make them listen? And in the end, they listen. And then they take credit for themselves. They give credit to themselves that they listen because they're smart. No, they listen because you as a parent love them so much and you want to share with them so much. And for that reason, you found 1,000 paths to convince them that that will be the best for them. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about control freak parents. I'm talking about really parents who just want to share. Going back to the section we just read. The blessing itself, that our capability to listen to spirituality, that by itself is a blessing. The curse itself, you're not capable to listen. Ever happened to you that you tried to get a deal on real estate or stock market and somebody gave you an advice and you couldn't listen? And you're so angry with yourself 2 years later. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I buy an apartment, in Vegas or in California or in New York? Now look what happened. Everything's triple. Why didn't I buy Apple stock? Oh my God, it doubled itself. Why didn't you listen to the advice? You were close. You were close. Why? That's the curse itself. But if you are open to listen, don't give a credit to yourself. That's the secret of this parasha. Don't give a credit to yourself just because you're open. It said that the Creator, the Mighty One, the One that loves you the most, again, I'm not here to convince you to believe me, but there is a force out there that created you. And that force wants you to listen, because if you listen, you're going to get more. That force only wants to give. So, let's go back to the concept of the Creator. The Zohar, the book of the Zohar, and the Talmud ask a great question. And they ask, what is the purpose of the creation of a human being? They don't ask a question about donkeys, cows, minerals, dogs, vegetables, celery, carrot, human being. And they raise a question and they ask, what is the purpose of creating human being? It's a long discussion. I'm not going into the whole discussion. And the answer is in two words. Le'etiv le'nivrav. So the Creator can do good to the one He created. So the Creator can do good to the one He created. So the whole idea is to do wonderful things to the one who created. If the person don't get the goodness of the Creator, something is wrong, not with the giver. Something is wrong with the receiver. Now, I'm not asking you to hate yourself for that. I'm asking you to follow a certain method that can fix yourself so you can receive all the gift that the Creator wants to give you. Because the gift is there. If you're not receiving it, something is wrong. It's like money. Money is the easiest thing to get. Everything else is tough, but money is the easiest thing to get. And if you don't have money, you got to look inside of you. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Not what's wrong with the world. Money is available. Billions of dollars are waiting for you to desire it and to manage it and to know how to get it. If you talk about love, that's a different story. Maybe you did something in another lifetime, reincarnation, and all this and that. But when it comes to money, money is supposed to find you. And if you're not open for that, you feel not worthy enough for money. We're going to talk about it. I think, when am I doing the live? Next Monday. Next Monday, I'm going to talk about how to manifest money, how to manifest your life. And I'm going to, step by step, will teach you how to get it going. But most important thing is to start to understand that the Creator want to give you everything, endlessly. So, what is the solution? There is something, it will sound a little bit religious, and please forgive me, the audience who not follow any religion or follow a different religion. There is something that called, in Judaism, there is something called mitzvot, precept. In the mitzvot, there is 613. The 613 divided to 248 and 365. And I'm going to explain exactly why. The 365 is what is you should prevent yourself from doing. And the 248 is what you should initiate doing. For example, what you shouldn't be doing, one of the animals you shouldn't be doing is a pig, or let's say lobster. Okay? God is telling you don't eat those animals. You're not going to be punished if you are, but it's just another prevention from you to receive the sustenance, the greatness of what the Creator want to give you. It's basically on the part you should be doing, it's giving charity with excitement. Everything that you should do positive should be with excitement. Everything that you should prevent yourself from doing should hold back, restrict yourself from doing it. How many? 613. How many ligaments you have in your body? 248. 248. How many, organ. The organ is 248. How many ligaments you have in your body? 365. Together you have 613. I don't need to tell you, 365 is also the days of the year. So the numbers play a serious role, which I need hours to explain it. But I'm trying to give it just a hint. Why the 613 precepts are there to fix the person in a way which is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So, what is the purpose of preventing myself from doing a certain thing? Because that nourishment that's coming from above, when it's coming to the wrong vessel, which is me, it the nourishment will not touch me. It will actually will be poured into the vessel, but it will be poured out. I will never enjoy it. For that reason, we need to change. When you are spiritual, there is laws of spirituality. But many people, when they talk about the laws of spirituality, they look at it as religion. When they look about spirituality, they look at it more like the freedom to do whatever I feel like or whatever I want. You know, some people light some candles and incense and they put it in the room and they think it's spirituality. Some people put the finger like that and do some yoga in different levels and they think spirituality. Spirituality have rules. What you should prevent yourself from doing and what you should be doing. For example, you can get jealous. That we should prevent yourself from doing. You can get angry. You should prevent. You cannot kill. You cannot steal. Those are laws. And those laws, you should apply them not because they make sense to you. Because if you're only going to apply them because it makes sense to you, tomorrow you will wake up in the morning and it will not make sense to you. Say, you know what? Killing is not that bad. I think my neighbor is a bad guy. I think the universe will be cleaner without him. So that's when you take the law to your hand, a spiritual law, and that prevents you from actually having all the blessing that the Creator want to give you. And then you're going to ask, how come I'm not getting what I want? Simple, you are blocked. And I'm not talking about, again, it sounds religious, but it's not my purpose here. And I'm sorry, or I'm not sorry if I sound religious. It's not my purpose to go this way or another. I'm here to talk the truth to you based on a book that was written thousands of years ago. So, you cannot follow spirituality based on logic. You have to find what is the spiritual rules of our universe. What is the spiritual rules of our universe? What is the one who created me? Do you believe you've been created by God? Or you think you've just been created by your parents? Sperm and an egg? That's created the body. But the soul, if you believe you have a soul, where is the soul came from? The soul is not a physical thing. The soul is a contribution, a charity that the Creator gave into the body to live together. After all, the body is totally a selfish machine. The body is 100% pure selfishness, where the soul is just love. You put selfish force together with the loving force together. That, my friend, is tough. And that's what we made from. So who are we? Are we the soul? Are we the body? Well, it's difficult to answer that. There is a book that was written by an Iraqi rabbi about 150 years ago. It's called Duty of the Heart. Duty of the Heart. And the rabbi name is Rabbeinu Bachya. And he asked that question, who are we? Are we the body? Are we the soul? And he said that we are the consciousness. We are the bridge between the body and the soul. We are actually the bridge. We are that part that make a decision if I should follow the body or I should follow the soul. That's spirituality. Now you know what it means. The blessing, if you can listen to the Creator, and the curse is when you don't listen to the Creator. What is the Creator telling you? Hey, listen, to get to me, to get to that endless love, I'm giving you 613. Try to do a few of them. I'm not asking you to do all of them, but few. Don't kill. Now, why you don't kill? Because it's a manners or because I say not to kill? If you say it because it's a manners, you didn't connect to the Creator at that moment. But if you didn't kill because the Creator that created your soul, the Creator that created your body, the Creator that created your consciousness suggests to you that you shouldn't be doing that so you can get all the blessing, you should listen. Not always when it makes sense. What if you're stupid? Is it ever going to make sense to you if you're stupid? If you're totally stupid, if things make sense, I know a person who drove in England for the first time after he drove here in LA for 30 years. He went to England and he said it doesn't make sense to me that they drive on the other end of the road or on the right end of the road or the left side of the road, whatever you want to call it. And he went into an accident after 3 hours in London. What happened? It didn't make sense to him. Not everything that doesn't make sense to you, you're going to go against it. Maybe you need more information. Maybe you need more knowledge. Maybe you need more logic or more study to understand why and how it works. So that force that called the Creator created everything. And that force they call the creator suggested for us, hey, listen, I want to give you a gold coin, but you got to be in that street in the right time so you can receive it. That's what the mitzvot are. That's what the precepts are. So you cannot trust your feeling. You cannot trust like, oh my God, this is feel right. Oh, this is feel wrong. It's nice. Feeling is nice. First, you have to follow those rules, even if it sounds religious to you, or even it doesn't make sense to you. Why you have to follow those rules? Because it's like pipes of energy coming from the non-physical universe to the physical universe. You gotta follow those things. Eventually it will make sense to you. When you're gonna have eyes, when you're gonna have ears, to build the eyes and ears and all the five senses, you have to develop yourself. You have to grow into that. You cannot just say, it doesn't make sense to me. I know a cocaine addict. It doesn't make sense to him. Why not everybody's doing cocaine and then die? He believed people should have a short life, just have fun and die. That's his logic. So the logic is relative. Feeling is relative. You got to follow some books of rules. The Torah, the Talmud, the Zohar, offering some book of rules. Unfortunately, with a lot of corruption happening in the last 2,000 years, those rules turned into something called religion instead of turning it into something called spirituality. That's very sad. And for that reason, people stay away from religion, like you see all over the world. People are against government. People are against leaders. And not for the wrong reason. Not for the wrong reason. It's people are in pain. No money, no food. You can never make it to the top. It's very sad. Very, very sad for them. But it doesn't work like this in the spiritual universe. You have to follow something. So, if you believe that it was a good idea to create you, and the force that created you is very knowledgeable of what's good for you, then you should follow, you should listen, and then by you listening, after you're capable of listening, let's say if you already on class, let's say if you left already, you left. But if you're already with me on Zoom and you're capable of listening, give the credit not to yourself, not to me. Give the credit to the Creator. Because the Creator make you listen to this lecture. Me talking about the Creator and you listen to a lecture about the Creator. Give the credit to the Creator that opened your ears. Give the credit to the Creator, open your eyes. Give all the time when you're doing the right thing, don't give the credit to yourself. Say, Master of the world, thank you for opening my eyes. It makes you humble also. It makes you great. So, one of the precepts that mentioned in this book today is charity. Charity. Most people believe in charity. Most people believe it's good to give charity. But the question, do we believe in charity, it's good because the Creator says so, or we believe in charity is good because it feels right? You can't follow something that feels right. You can't follow something that makes sense to me. I like it. It's a good idea. No. You gotta get into the idea. If the one who created my soul say this is great, it's got to be great because the one who created my soul just want to give me 100% good. So I got to find out what's good about charity. And I need to understand charity if that will help you. If I will explain charity to you this evening and you will understand it, and because of that, you will start chasing charity. Not from the point of it's fun doing it, from the point that it makes me connect to the Creator in a better way. So, what is charity? We know that in this week portion, it's been mentioned two types of giving. One is mentioned as tithing. Tithing is when you give between 10% to 21% of your income after tax. That's a law. That's a law that the Torah is teaching you. The minimum is 10%. The maximum is 21%. You can't give more than that. This is tithing. That's every human being has to give. Doesn't matter what you are. Doesn't matter how poor you are. Doesn't matter what you do. Thank you. Thank you. L'chaim. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. Even if you don't have a lot of money, you give tithing. Which means, let's say if you make $100 a day, you give $10. It's not yours. And the reason it's not yours, simply because those of you familiar with the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is 10 dimensions into everything. 9 dimensions are non-physical. The 10th one is physical. So when you take the physical part of the money, the physical part of your income, you stay with the 90% spiritual money, and because of that, that brings you the blessing. For that reason, tithing, where do we learn it from? From Jacob. Jacob was the first one to talk about tithing. So for that, it's very common among Christian, among Mormon are the most famous for tithing, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, all other religion is just to give that 10% make you capable to remove the physical part of your money and connect only to the spiritual essence of your money. So what is charity then? Very good question. Charity is not something that you have to do. It's something that you give to save your soul. But you're going to give it with the happiness. Which means if you give it not with the happiness, those of you who remember the movie Ghost with the Whoopi Goldberg, when she gave that check to that the ghost or whoever, or to charity, to the nun, and she said, thank you, bless you, my child. Bless you. And she keep fighting with it. The act is okay. The happiness was not involved in it. Charity has to be done with true amount of happiness, because remember, it's part of those 248 mitzvot precepts that you're doing in a positive way. That has to be done with excitement. The 365 precept has to be done with more retrieving, with restriction. That part, you don't have to be super happy when you do that, because you're letting go of things. But the 248 precept, you got to do with the happiness. So the Zohar is teaching us, when you give charity, you're giving it to save your nefesh, to save your soul. If you want to save your soul, you want to save your conscience, you want to save something, this is the trick. This is the method, the secret, what should I call it, technology, to save your soul. Where tithing is mostly to save your body, to save your business, to save physical thing. But when you want to save your soul, you want to save your consciousness, you want to save the way you think, you want to save things around you more, the awareness, and moving from oblivious to aware, you need charity. And for that, my dear friend, you got to grow. You got to grow. And how come sometimes you meet the wrong people who ask for charity? And you give them the money and they go and buy drugs, cocaine, alcohol, they go kill people with your money. Why did you end up with the wrong people? Or why the wrong people end up with you? Why did stealing your money? Why? Explain to us. Explain to us a book by the name of Arve Nachal. Those of you who don't know Arve Nachal, it's a rabbi by the name of Rabbi David Shlomo Ifshitz. It's explained to us in Arve Nachal why you end up with the wrong people who want to take from you. When you are about to give, you not include true happiness with that. It's almost like, you know, I was once going door to door. Those of you know Brooklyn, I don't know how many of you live in Brooklyn, but when you go door to door on Ocean Parkway, those of you know Ocean Parkway, door to door. And some people in the summertime offer you a cold drink. Some people don't offer you a thing. For some people, you're so thirsty, you dehydration is so bad that you ask if you can have a glass of water, and they give you a little bit of water like that. Why is that? Because they don't give it with happiness. When a person don't give it with happiness, then the next person who's going to come to them will take advantage of them. When you not give charity with happiness, you're going to always going to give to the wrong people. It's not the wrong people's fault. It's me not want to do it with love. And I have to tell you, I'm blessed because I grew up with a mother always give charity. Even if we didn't have that much, she always give charity. And her rules were simple. If somebody put their hands down, we give. We don't judge, we don't ask. So about 2 months ago, I told my mom, you know, that lesson that you taught me about giving to whoever asks and do it with happiness, even if I don't have sometimes, it stayed with me for the rest of my life. And it changed me. And all of a sudden, instead of she taking the credit for what she taught me, she say, actually, you know, you need to know, I also learned it from my father. So, wow. Those of you who don't know, my grandfather was very famous removal of magic, black magic, and evil eye. He was one of the top guy in Israel. It's come from his father, Chacham Mordechai, Rabbi Mordechai. So it's a generation. I do that sometimes when people really need help to remove the evil from the spirit of a person. And so he taught her that too. When you give it happiness. If you cannot give charity with happiness, then you stuck. Because why you don't want to give? You don't want to give few reasons. Either you feel some people take advantage of you. Either you're cheap. And then what cheap is not by choice. You need to know. Don't hate yourself if you're cheap. Cheap is not, it doesn't make you a bad person. People who are cheap are not bad people. They're great people. Cheap, being cheap according to the Zohar, and according to King Solomon, is even before the Zohar, King Solomon called the concept of being stingy, "Vegamani ra'iti machala ra'a tachat ha-shemesh." I translate, I also saw a disease really bad under the sun. It's an old language of the 3,200 years ago. So what is King Solomon teaching us, the wisest man ever? That the non-ability to give, when a person cannot be generous, is not because they choose not to be generous. The person can be the greatest person ever. They just can't give. It's a disease. It's just a disease. I have to tell you that I grew up with two parents. My father, may rest in peace, was not so much into giving. Doesn't mean he was a bad guy. He was just grew up as an orphan. And for him to survive was everything life is about, was to survive. My mom grew up with an education of a father, of a grandfather, that giving is the most important thing. So, sometimes you don't get that education. And I was pretty confused, because my father would advise not to give, my mother advised to give, you know, and sometimes you see that the people take advantage of you. So, how come? So here, in the book, Or Ne'erah, we explain that without the charity, you can actually cannot grow to the next level. And it's not about how much. It's about the initiation to give instead of somebody ask from you. You're chasing the opportunity to give. You're not waiting for somebody to tell you, hey, can you help? No, no, you're looking for what to give. Those of you who don't know, I think few people know that, that usually in the month of Adar and in the month of Kislev, you know, please don't rob me what I'm going to tell you. So I usually go with cash in my pocket and I tell my kids the same thing. And whoever asks, we have to give. We don't ask any question. Because the book's writing that in the time of Purim, the time of holiday in Purim, and the time of holiday of Hanukkah, a person has to look for opportunity, where can I give? I just can't wait for somebody to come and say, hey, I need bread, I need food, I need wine, I need something. And this is the time that everybody has to chase the receiver. But if you can do it all year long, like looking for where can I give? Where can I give now? Is it only money? Well, it starts with money. You cannot start with volunteering. You have to start with money. So don't cheat the system. Some people say, hey, look, you know what? I can volunteer. That's giving. I can give an advice. That's giving. No. Go to your account and today you have 100. Tomorrow you're going to have 98. You have to see that things went down. And then, only then, you start meeting the right people you give charity to. And then you're opening that blessing to start meeting the right people. And those right people start bringing life to your soul. Now, some of you, I'm sure, are angry now, upset. You feel like by me teaching it, maybe it's not fair. I caught you off guard. Why should I give? Because you need to give. If it bothers you, the concept of giving, you have to give. Not able to give, it's a disease. It's the worst sickness a person can have. You got to learn to give. And yes, it starts with money, then time, then love. Not the other way around. I know a lot of people tell me, I can give love and volunteering. Don't touch my money. No. The Zohar, the Talmud, the Torah said you have to start first with money. Money includes everything. Money includes cash. Money includes clothing. Money includes food. But it has to be something that you pay for it with your own, they call it in the time of the Talmud, they call it with your own blood. Because the money considered like your own blood. You work for it. You sweat for that. That's your own money. It's very difficult to give. Again, this is beside the tithing that you are given. So, Arve Nachal, the book Arve Nachal explained to us that without a person is doing charity, chasing charity all day long, a person cannot actually create an opening for their soul to listen. They may be going to hear the voice of God. They may be going to hear the voice of the angel. They may be going to call themselves spiritual. But eventually, it's not going to work. You got to hear. You got to connect. And connecting starts with what? With what the Creator is doing. What is the first act of the Creator? What did they start with? Sharing. Loving. The Creator is only love. Only giving. Can you imagine if you ask from the Creator, you pray to the Creator, say, hey, please, I need more money. Going short a little bit here. Please help me. And the Creator say, I can volunteer if you want. I can come to your house and dance with you. No. You got to be sensitive. You got to be sensitive to the need of people, sensitive for the need of organization, and don't wait for them to ask you. Because if they already ask you and you give, they get the benefit, by the way. You can get the benefit while they ask you if you do it with super happiness, like you're chasing them. Chasing them. You know, I cannot mention name because I'm not allowed by the Talmud. Talmud not allowed me to give compliment directly. So, we're living here in LA, and there is people who know that I love mikveh. Mikveh is where a man merge into a water, and by doing that, the person clean their soul, and they can pray better, connect better. And according to Kabbalah, according to Kabbalists, a man needs to do it at least twice a week. At least, that's a minimum, or every day if he can. So, since they closed the mikveh on March, you know, it's very difficult for me. A shower and different things. I don't have that pool in the backyard so I can do it. So, one of my students decided to order on Amazon an old jacuzzi that you, what do you call it when you pump it up. You pump it up. Jacuzzi, a real jacuzzi, unbelievable. And this Shabbat, I was able to actually do a mikveh outside under the sky. Please don't sneak because you might see me going in. This and that. It's behind the car, so don't go. Don't come. And the idea is, I was thinking about, and I asked my family, why does he have the merit to do it? I mean, I have about 300 students. They all know what I'm doing. They all follow my way. Why did he become the person to give me that charity? Why not somebody else? Why him? Actually, I wanted to be somebody else so somebody else can get benefit. I didn't even think to myself, Maybe I should get it. He came up with the idea, he came up with the delivery, he came up with everything. Not, the story is not the end. You know what happened? When they deliver it on Friday, it's arrived to somebody else's home, different neighborhood. There's no way they're going to find me. They don't even know I exist. They found us. I have no idea how. I guess it was written something in the bottom, right? Debbie's name. They saw Debbie Gian name. They start looking online. They found Vital. Then they found us. And then they said, come pick it up. We went pick it up. And we built it here in the backyard. I said, wow, not only this student of mine taking care of it, look at the story that happened. He connected me to other people. I said, this cannot go like that. I got to give them something. Got to give a gift. Got to give charity. They don't want charity. We try. So what we did, we get the most expensive bottle of wine we have here. And we went to them and said, please, at least you can receive that. I said, this we will receive for Friday night. What am I trying to share with you that? All of us got to do charity. Charities have to be part of your existence. If charity is not part of your existence with excitement, where can I give? Where can I go? Where can I do more, more and more and more? And not to say, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. Some people always say, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. You know what's going to happen? You're not going to have. Stop talking like that. Where can I give? What you're going to have will come from the Creator who created your body, who created your soul. It's a, I'm giving you a curse and a blessing. What is the blessing? If you don't listen. If you listen. What is the curse? If you don't listen. Very simple. How am I doing there? Is it okay? Any complaint? Somebody asked me, what's the benefit of doing all this great work? You know, every religion promises you that there is afterlife. Jewish people call it Olam Haba, the next world to come. Christian promises you that you and Jesus will have vegan restaurant up there in heaven, so you're going to be okay. The Muslim promises you, I think it's a 70 version or 72 version, together with Muhammad. The Hindu, I don't know what they promise you. Maybe Buddha and you will go skydiving. I have no idea what. Everybody promises you that if you do good, yeah, you're going to be okay in that non-physical universe. The book I'm reading from, Arve Nachal, Rabbi David Shlomo Ivshitz, right? There is three levels to our existence. One level is this physical universe. Second level is the next world to come after people die. And third level is Triyat HaMetim, when it will be what we call the resurrection of the body. Let's talk for our physical universe. In this physical universe, they give us test. Everybody has to go through pain. If you didn't go through pain yet, something is wrong with the system. You got to go through pain, and when you go into that pain, it's a test if you can climb to the next level. Why you have to go through that pain? I heard it from Rabbi Sinai. Rabbi Sinai is a great follower of Rav Ashlag and great speaker of Ashlag lectures. Wonderful guy from Israel. And the way he explained it, the reason I use his explanation, because I really enjoy what he say. The way he explained it, you say, how do you grow in this world? You have to have some test. How do you grow from being a baby to being mature? If you are a baby, you still depend on your parents. It depends on everything around you. You're never going to get out of the house because it still depends on everything you're getting here. You're still breastfeeding from your family, from your parents. When you start to struggle with your life, what happened then? You have to make some choices, wrong choices or right choices. And that would make you actually climb. Those things that what we call free will, that was given to you, you are basically running into free will. And that free will, whatever you do good or bad, depends a lot on what you're doing in this physical universe. Now, when you do well, spiritually well, the soul benefit. When you do physically well, the body benefit. Don't forget what I said in the beginning. Those two forces are not getting along. Everybody opened the UN building for the nations all over the world. But we need the UN building for what the body and the soul are going to do together. So that force called the body, the most selfish thing, and the soul, which is the most giving thing, are living together. We're living in this physical universe, and we need to sift. We need to make clarification of these two forces. For that reason, when you give charity, it's not easy. The body says, I don't want to give. The soul says, please give. They're fighting. Not easy fight. After a person died, they go to the upper world. The soul go back to where? To where it belong, to the bank of the soul. The soul not belong in this physical universe. This physical universe, the body belong here. That's why the body, it's easy to enjoy the physical universe. The soul is very difficult to enjoy the physical universe because the soul is spiritual. It can't enjoy everything spiritual here. For that reason, people tell them, hey, you want to study spirituality? They say, yeah, leave me alone. Let me dance, let me have a drink, sex, drugs. That's good. That's body. But the soul, it's non-physical, it's not tangible thing. You can't touch anything that the soul is connecting to. So in the upper world, the body going to cleansing. The soul also have to go to cleansing, because when the soul is in the body, it gets dirty. Whatever you're going to call it, hell or heaven, whatever you believe in it or don't believe in it, doesn't matter. But there is a certain school up there that prepare you either for another lifetime, either for a reincarnation in a body of a human being or animal or whatever you have to go to. Is that it? No. That's not the goal of who we are. Eventually, the third, after the world to come, after that Olam Haba, what we call Olam Haba, there is coming back to this world when the physical body and the soul learn to live together. And then the body will live forever. That's the goal of our universe. To come back after the Olam Haba, after that school, into this physical universe, when the body lasts forever and the soul lasts forever. Nobody died. That's the goal. For that reason, when we hear about somebody who died, or when we have a fear of death, it's coming from the memory that is inside of our DNA of the soul, DNA of the body. It's in our gene, the memory of the future, not the memory of the past. We know what's coming, that we're supposed to live forever. We know that the soul is supposed to stay here. We know we're supposed to be spiritual. We know the process. But it's difficult living in this physical universe and just listen to the soul all day long. Why, you want to tell me you don't hear your voice? You don't have an inner voice to say, give. Don't be too cheap. Give extra money for charity. Give extra money for tip. Come on. Don't be cheap. Some people are so cheap on the tip. Give. Give to the waiters. He wasn't that great. So, it's not for him. It's for you. You practice giving. I told you about my friend in Miami. I think he allowed me to mention his name. His name is Daniel Zinker. You know, Daniel Zinker teach me a lesson. A lesson of life. I will never forget that lesson. We were in a restaurant, and it was the worst service ever restaurant. You know what he did? Danny is my teacher. He called me that I'm his teacher, but he teach me that. We're sitting, he gave extra tip to the waiters, like 25% deep. I'm looking at him, it was the worst. Nothing, this was no food. And he started laughing. He make me laugh thinking about it. And he said, well, she would wonder after that what's going to happen. And it's funny, we came back to the same restaurant. It's in Miami somewhere. And she was never there. I guess she got fired. Not because of us. We actually gave tip. We gave everything. So what am I trying to say? Giving charity, giving of tithing, giving is what make this world going. It's what make your soul listen. You can't tell what's right, what's wrong if you're not into giving. You can't know what's right. You can't know what's wrong. But if you're into giving, you never wear off. You have more energy because you want to give more. You're excited. Who want more? You know? And when you give, it's unbelievable. I see that I have a friend, if she allowed me to say it too. We have a friend who was very generous. Her name is Susan Friend. You know, when she make her cake, the cake name is Charity with Giving and with Love. It's simple. You test it, you feel love, charity, and happiness. Why? Because this is it. Did she give? She give. No, a little bit of giving. She give it all the way. Those people around me are my teacher. They taught me that giving is important, that charity is important in every second. Now, you don't have enough money, give a dollar a day. Put a little box, make a hole, put a dollar a day and say, I'm not touching this money. This is for charity. You gotta give. You gotta start giving. And if you don't start giving, I'm sorry. You can be a wonderful person and you can call yourself spiritual. If you don't give charity, if you're not capable to give and you're too cheap and stingy, please, I'm willing to face you in Zoom and prove to you, and it will sound really bad, that you're not spiritual. Spirituality start and end with charity. Spirituality start and end with generosity. Spirituality is not how many times a day you meditate. Spirituality is how many times you pray. Spirituality is not about, wow, I went to the hospital and here's my picture on Instagram volunteering. No. Spirituality start with whatever is mine, I want to give to you. If it's my bagel, I want to share it with you. If it's my money, I want to share it with you. If it's my gift, I want to share with you. That's really what it's all about. When we created Vital, the goal was very simple. To create a large group of people who study, that eventually each and every one of them can become a teacher. And you will see that we are just in the beginning. You already see that we have different teachers in different language, that we want to help everybody to give, to give, to give. You have a comment or something?
I have a question.
Yeah.
When giving becomes a normal part of your spiritual process, how do we handle the growing ego?
I don't know if they give right. I don't know if it's the real giving. I don't know. You know, we have to check the giving, the quality of giving, the amount of giving. Sometimes I know a guy who has $1.5 billion. And he give a year $15,000. It's not even the tithing. You understand? It's not even tithing. The amount has to be past the 10%. So you can talk to me and I can check everything. After tax, whatever. There is laws on those things. You have to follow that you're giving. You have first to do the giving of money. The rest will come later. You can't chase all the other spirituality before you did giving. Giving is the beginning. But if you feel when you give you've been taken advantage of, then don't give. That's not real giving. Giving has to be because you're so excited to give. If I'm going to start giving because I don't like it, people tell me it's unbelievable, Eliyahu. On your previous job, you did the same and you continue to do the same here. How come? Most of the people who left the previous job, don't do what you do. Don't create organization. Don't create study and lecture. Why you? I said, because I love doing it. I love giving. I wish this COVID will go away and we can have a house full with people and we can feed them. And I love it. Can't help it. So think about it. Doesn't have to be difficult. Just give. Anyway, I think it's time for me to take you to meditation. It will be short because of our time. So I will do the best I can to make it nice for everybody. So please, relax. Is it okay to get into meditation? I think the message was clear then, no? Anyway, close your eyes. Love yourself. Put a smile on your face. Put a lovely smile. Be generous with your smile. Come on. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just smile. Smile. Be happy. Be happy. Smile. Love yourself. Say the name of yourself 7 times without other people can hear it, which means you're whispering it, so only you can hear your name, but do not, if there is somebody next to you, they should not hear you to that far. It's just whisper, like, for example, it's like that, Eliyahu. Okay? That's how you say it. So you say 7 times your name, please. Good. Now what I want you to do, I want you to see 2 screens. On the right screen, what is that you think that you should give in a charity? What do you think the amount that it's possible for you to give? So put it on the right screen. Good. On the left screen, I want you to put an amount that definitely it's above your mean. There is no way that you can give such an amount. Please put it there. Now you are sitting in the middle and you're praying to the divine and you're praying to the creator who created your body and soul and your consciousness. And you ask the divine to help you and make a promise like Jacob did with the divine. And say, "Dear divine, I want to commit without promise that whatever I see on the right screen, I will start giving it in a regular time, regular basis, I'll start giving it. But I would like to ask for a favor. I also want to be able to give something that I wrote on the left screen. But for that, dear creator, I still need to eat. I still need to drink. I still need to go to sleep. So I don't have that amount. So dear creator, to opening the door for me, so I can give that much, I need you, the Creator, to be generous with me and please test me and see that I will be able to pass on the charity that you gave me to give it to others." Open your hand as the 10 finger in Hebrew called Eser. 10 finger is Eser, 10. 10, the number 10 is Eser. The word for being rich is Osher, same letter. So to receive the power of being rich coming to your 10 finger, by the way. You're activating all the money in the world to coming to you, not to coming to you, so you can be generous with others. And of course, be generous with yourself. And before you're getting out of that short prayer meditation, what I would like you to say is I would like you to say your name and your father name 7 times before you open your eyes. Eli, open your eyes. You can open your eyes now. And I want to bless you. And pray that may the Creator grant you with the ability to give what you wrote on the left screen, because you're going to have so much more, so you will be able to give that. Thank you for joining me tonight. And if I shook you a little bit and I make you a little bit on the edges, I'm not apologize for this, because you will see the benefit later. Thank you and have a great evening. Thank you. Is there any question before I go? Oh, you want me to say thank you first for the people? Oh, usually. Thank you, Susanna. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Masha. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Mark Bloom. Thank you, Sharona. Thank you, Des. Thank you, Luisa from Australia. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, Dr. Ella. Thank you, Sabina. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Alan Ashkenazi. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, Michael Englander. Thank you, Gabriela. Lydia Vega from Mexico. Thank you, Darlene Williams, Camila Goldsmith, Erta Ackett, and Vegas, and I think it was another person that was there, I guess they left. And thank you to Anna Maria that I saw in the beginning, but I don't see her now. So thank you, everybody, and you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Make sure you celebrate, be generous with yourself, be generous with others. Thank you.